talking to the disciples about how they are to live and be and to do the whole disciple thing, we have this conversation, this meeting up, as Jesus is heading on towards Jerusalem. As you can see, he's making that steady progression towards Easter. Eventually, he'll get there. And when he approaches this town that is kind of between Samaria, somewhat between Galilee in that general region amongst populations, he meets 10 people with leprosy. And what follows tends towards what is a normal. Normal with Jesus is kind of a bit of an open concept. And 10 people ask for a miracle from Jesus. Now, miracle stories are always interesting because the one thing that always happens in the miracle is the miracle. So it's less about the miracle and more about the other parts in the miracle. Often it's about the friends of the person who's being healed, the friends who bring the paralytic to Jesus, the friends who are willing to rip open a roof to lower that friend down. It's about how much faith a person has to just touch Jesus' robe and be healed. Miracles are not necessarily about the healing as much as the lengths that people are willing to go to be healed, or the teachings associated and affiliated with that healing. And here, the extraordinary measures that happen don't really exist. There's no extreme moment, but there are 10 people calling on the Lord to heal them. If anything is odd, it's how simple this miracle is. It's very similar to the reading from Kings, where Naaman's told, just go take a wash in the River Jordan and ignore the amount of mud and wash that happens in there, and you'll be clean. And Naaman, of course, gets upset because, well, the Jordan isn't exactly the cleanest, nicest of rivers to swim in. I know we are thinking of a particular creek nearby that isn't as clean as it used to be. Right, Doris, with the Esopus? But we have these 10 people who have been isolated because of their disease. They stand far away. Following the proper procedure, they have to stand off and say, Jesus, heal us! Because they don't want to come close and engage and violate the fact that they are unclean. What else happens in this miracle isn't just the healing physically of the people. It's the restoring to society that happens as well. They aren't just made right in the eyes of their bodies. They are made right in the eyes of God and their community. So as we look at this awful disease that has harmed both physically but mentally and socially these people, we understand how beautiful this healing is. And it is a very simple healing. Hey, go show yourselves to the priests. Go to the temple. Go show yourselves and you'll be healed. But then there's the added wrinkle that as soon as they step off, it seems that the process of healing happens. As they go along the way, they're healed because they're faithfully going. They're faithfully taking that trip to the temple to be healed. And then we see things change a little bit. Because the 9 follow Jesus' instructions. Go show yourselves. But the one, as soon as he notices that he's been healed. And we can argue about knowing that all of a sudden your skin has been restored after the aching and flaking that is leprosy. Obviously, the other 9 probably noticed something, that suddenly their limbs were restored. Their bodies physically were better, but they keep on going. But the one just can't stop. He can't be contained. He turns right around and starts to praise God. He goes back And I want you to think about that idea of going back. Because before we look at those nine who don't, because we often judge those nine, why didn't they go? Why didn't they return? You never know. Maybe they were afraid that if they didn't follow Jesus' instructions, they might lose the healing that they had felt. They have to close the door, close the box, and make sure they're finished on this task. But the one, even though he likely has similar worries and fears, he doesn't worry about that. He is healed, and he is going to go back to Jesus, and he is going to praise God all the way along. That's the outlier in this miracle. It's not about 10 people being healed. It's about one who, when he is healed, stops everything. Stops going and fulfilling the task, but has to go back and thank Jesus for what has happened, what has transpired. The one comes back. And Jesus praises him. Now, the hard part here is, again, the other nine. What do we do with the other nine? We let them be. We let Jesus handle what happens with them. We don't worry about, well, did they go back eventually? Guess what? I don't read that in Luke. It's not to be worried about if we don't know about those other nine. But this one is not just isolated. He's a Samaritan. He's an outsider. This outsider is the one who comes back. This person who the other nine, had they known or cared at that moment that he was a Samaritan, probably would have had him on the outs as well. Their disease had made them common. Their disease had tied them together. And now that he's healed, the otherness that would have creeped in could have, but Jesus affirms him. Jesus praises him for coming back. Jesus praises him for thanking God for what has happened. It's not about the nine and their story. It's about the one and how strong he is in his desire to thank God. Now, we don't know his internal fears and conversation. We don't know what he's worried about or all of that. What we do know is the joy he feels at being restored, the celebration that is within him because Christ has made him well. And that's what we need to look at, because he doesn't skip a beat. He doesn't pause, wonder what's next. He goes straight back to Jesus because he was restored. He doesn't worry about going and finding his family. He doesn't care about the other pieces. He is driven by a desire to praise and thank God. Now, as you saw, there's various hard paths to get kids to say thank you. You know, I always remember going trick-or-treating and you'd get that gentle back of the arm, in the small of your back, what do you say? And of course, you say thank you. Some semblance of thank you, you teach kids. And we get to the holidays, birthdays, and celebrations, and kids, you know, you have to prompt them, and we teach them. But as adults, do we always say thank you for all that is and all that has happened? Now think about this man, because he isn't just given a piece of candy at some stranger's door that he's saying thank you for. He has been restored physically. He's been restored socially, culturally. He is now part of the community. And he is healed. All of a sudden, his world has changed. And he says, thank you for it. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for all that you do. Think about us and all that we have to thank God for. I think about the 225th anniversary. It's a pretty big thank you we owe God. especially when you look at some churches and the shelf life can often be in the single years. Some churches fail after a few years. Some churches don't last beyond 50 years. But we've been here. God's presence has been here for 225 years. That's a huge thank you. That isn't just touching on all the ways God is present in our lives, all the ways that God looks after us in good times, in bad, in sickness, in wellness, all those times God is present with us and for us. How do we respond? Do we treat it like it's God's job to look after us and so it's no thank you needed? Or do we continue to offer our praises and our joy as an offering to God? Do we continue to offer up ourselves to God in response, in thanks for all that God has done? Like the kid said, there is no limit and no end to the ways we can thank God. But we have to do it. We have to do it. We have to thank Him for all that God has done for us, all that God continues to do for us. And we should ask our questions that we should always ask. Do I have to thank God just that way? Can I thank God in a new way? Is there a new form that my thanks can be given to God? How can I best show my thanks for God, for all that God does for us? And so let me encourage you to go outside of the box a little bit, to in the next few days come up with a new way to thank God. A new way. It doesn't have to be a new original way, but something that's new for you. Add a new practice of thanksgiving to God, because all that God has done, all that God continues to do for us, for our world, shouldn't we say thank you? Well, let me thank all of you for your support, for your time, and for being Hurley Reformed. I'd like to thank all who helped with the steeple. I want to thank all of you because we should say thanks to one another, but also to God. So thank you all. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, we will give thanks.